From Utah Public Radio, this is Undisciplined. I'm Reagan Edelman. If you're a gardener or a chef or even just a tea drinker, you know something about herbs. Herbs have many benefits year-round. They bring more bees, birds, and beneficial insects into the garden. They add spice, flavor, and depth to any recipe, and they have the capability to enrich both our health and our earth in profound and nourishing ways. In Herbs in Every Season, 48 edible and medicinal herbs for the kitchen, apothecary gardening expert Bevan Cohen offers gardeners, herbalists, cooks, and homesteaders a new way of looking at herbs throughout the year, from every angle. Herbs in Every Season is an exploration of 48 medicinal and culinary herbs to grow and use year-round in any kitchen. The photographed guide features information on gardening, cooking, and integrating herbs as a part of a holistic wellness routine. Herbalists will learn how an herb's growth habits inform its medicinal capabilities, and gardeners will gain insight into herbs as culinary plants for the kitchen garden, pollinator plants for perennial borders, and key ingredients for a home apothecary. Bevan is an author, herbalist, gardener, seed saver, and educator. He's also the owner of Small House Farm and the founder of Michigan's Seed Library Network, a community of seed sharing that has helped establish more than 100 seed library programs. And recently, he's the author of Herbs in Every Season. Bevan Cohen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Bevan, you have quite a history with gardening and sustainable living. You're currently the owner of Small House Farm, where you focus on simplicity and sustainability. Where did this start? It's clearly something you're passionate about enough to share it with your family. And I'm just curious about at what point little Bevan decided that this was his life trajectory.
Well, you know, this has been a lifelong journey for me. My fascination with plants actually began when I was a little Bevan, long ago when I was a small boy. I lived with my grandmother in an apartment right on the edge of town. And, you know, our property that we stayed in butted up to probably like 2,000 acres of forest. And I would spend most of my days like a child would playing in the forest, right? Climbing trees and hiking around and picking berries and doing whatever. And I was absolutely fascinated with all of the different plants I could find. In particular, the plant that really got me going was wintergreen. Wintergreen grew all over the forest floor. And, you know, I'd pick the berries and eat them. And it's a tasty snack. And I just thought they were just such a cool little plant. Well, my grandma always took me to the library. That was a weekly tradition for us. We were always going to the library, checking out books. I read a lot of books. And so I started getting books about the plants that I was finding in the woods. So I'm talking, you know, maybe I'm like 10, 12 years old at this time. And I'm reading all these little books about plants and this sort of thing. And it dawned on me one day when I was sitting in the forest that if just in this little patch of the earth that I spend my time in, there are this many wonderful plants, how many wonderful plants are there in the whole wide world? And in that moment, it just began this lifelong obsession with plants, and it's just never stopped. I've also over the years been lucky enough to study under other plant people. You know, I always consider myself, you know, blessed to be able to stand in the shadow of those that have come before me and learn so much about plants from experienced herbalists and experienced farmers and people that have been working the land for years and years, and that's been passed down through multiple generations in their families. And, you know, I've had these opportunities to learn from those folks as well, people that have been out there doing the work. And I think that that's really important. Books are nice. Books are great. But that hands-on approach to learning has been really beneficial for me as well.
You started this podcast back in 2023. It's called Seeds and Weeds. I imagine that was in part because you were driven by this love of nature and this desire to learn more about the people who knew so much already. Is that part of why it began?
It is part of it. You know, that selfish excuse to like, well, if I could get guests on my show that I want to learn from, you know, I can get them on there and I can ask them all these questions and I can learn so much. But, you know, it also partially started just because, you know, I travel a lot now in seeking plants, sure, but also we do a lot of education programming. So especially in the spring and again in the fall, I'm on the road a lot and I love to listen to the radio, but I travel so far that I would often leave a broadcast range before the show I was listening to would finish. So I had to switch over to podcasts because it could kind of come with me wherever I was at. And I just thought, wow, this is such a cool concept, this podcast. I think that I'd like to try my hand at that. I don't sit still very well. I always want to try a new project. So yeah, we launched Seeds and Weeds. And to be honest with you, I wish I would have done it years earlier because it has been so much fun. Lately, this season, I've been bringing my wife, Heather, onto the show. We've kind of been doing like a co-host thing. And that's been really, really fun because she is like the perfect balance for me you know, she's a little bit more grounded and realistic, and I'm a little bit more excitable. So it's been so much fun to be able to just have this shared experience together.
Tell me a little bit about the benefits and joys you've experienced living the lifestyle that you do. I imagine it's made infinite times better because you get to share it with your wife.
It is infinitely better because I share with her. Everything in life is better because of her, I would have to say. This lifestyle that we've chosen for ourselves, that found ourselves in, there's so many benefits to it, I think. I think the most obvious would be more time outside. We spend a lot of time outside together, you know, whether that's working in the gardens or going foraging or simply just kayaking and hiking a trail or whatever it might be. Spending this time outside observing nature through the seasons and watching how the world changes through the seasons, and then kind of comparing that to how we change throughout the seasons, or, you know, the seasons of the year. We could think about the seasons of our lives, you know, and it's just interesting that parallel that we have with nature. And so it's been really cool. And, you know, when we have two children, we get them outside too. And it's so nice to be able to see that, because, you know, for me, I feel that I kind of started at zero and had to go from there with what I was learning in my life. But my kids have kind of, they're coming at it from a different starting point. So I can only imagine what wonderful things are they going to do with their lives. That's pretty exciting stuff. And I'm lucky to have the opportunity to now share that passion and excitement with my family right here at Small House Farm and get them, you know, excited about plants as well, and see all of the wonderful things that plants can offer us.
And I imagine it teaches a lot of discipline too, because you have to be consistent.
It is an interesting thing, you know, that discipline and how it is. It's the lifestyle can be difficult. There's definitely challenges and struggles and hard work, and it's dirty. And, you know, that's a part of it, but it's also at the same time so rewarding.
Let's talk a little bit about your recent book, Herbs in Every Season. Bevan, this book is awesome. You open it up with this really quite beautiful paragraph about how working with herbs can help us understand who we are and why we interact with the world in the way that we do. And you touched on this a little, but a big part of this is focusing not only on why we use herbs, but when we encounter them. And the focus here is really how to align herbal practices with seasonal changes. Why was this such a priority for you when you were writing this book?
Well, you know, Herbs in Every Season isn't my first book. I've written a number of books leading up to this one. And I feel that I've kind of been chipping away at this idea on trying to find the way to express it through each of these books, trying to maybe for myself, understand what it is that I'm observing out there. And I really feel that with Herbs in Every Season, I finally have broken through with this idea for myself. And I hope that the readers can pick it up. I think that at the heart of everything that I do is seasonal, right? My entire existence is seasonal. But I think that that's the case for other people as well. I think it is for all of us, but we just don't necessarily see it that way, right? Sometimes we're very busy, and sometimes our day-to-day life might seem repetitive or mundane, and we don't see how it's influenced by the seasons. So I'm really hoping that through this book, I can inspire people, maybe folks that have never even thought of it this way before, or maybe people that even haven't gardened or any of those sorts of things, can just have a different perspective and see the way that the natural world impacts us on the daily basis.
You had these really interesting headings for each season. Tell me a little bit about those headings.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling the book out right now to make sure I get them right. Oh yeah, spring for sure. It's planning and planting in the season of renewal. And, you know, I think that that's probably obvious what I'm getting at here. You know, the season of renewal is that rebirth of the world around us, you know, as winter passes and the world sort of wakes back up again, you know, you start to see new animals that start to come around. Just the air feels different. The energy is different. You can feel everything waking up. In the world around you, but also in yourself, you know, we feel more invigorated. We're excited to get back outside. You know, there's definitely that renewal of everything around us, all these little plants suddenly, you know, bursting out of the ground, or in the mornings, the bird song that you didn't even realize it hadn't been there in the winter. You get so used to that silence. And then all of a sudden one morning you wake up and you can hear that the world is alive again. And that's just a magical moment. I'd be hard pressed to pick a favorite season, Reagan. I think that I would, but right now I'm definitely feeling spring. It's certainly a magic moment that we get to be a part of. When we come into summer, we're looking at the long days and big rewards in the season of abundance. And that's true, right? Of course, the days have gotten longer and the work gets longer too. It's an interesting thing that we see here where we're enjoying summer and everything's fun and we're on vacation maybe and the kids might be home more and we, you know, we're out in the gardens and every day is sunny and beautiful, but the workload has also increased, right? So there's just this balance of things that are happening out there in the natural world where I feel more free, yet at the same time, I'm more encumbered because I have these responsibilities and I've got to work the earth and I've got to be out there weeding and doing all these things that I may not want to do in the moment, but I'm blessed to do. And when I'm not doing them in a later season, I'm going to look back on it fondly and be so happy that I did it. And I can't wait to get back to that moment, right?
I already feel that way about winter a little bit as the snow's melting. I was complaining, and now I miss it.
Isn't it funny how that works? You know, as the every moment when we're experiencing it, if we don't truly appreciate it, we're going to long for it later, right? So kind of one of the messages I think throughout the book as well is to learn how to appreciate the moment that we're in, because once it's gone, it's gone. We'll come back to that season again. We'll come back around, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different every time because we've changed. We change through the seasons as well. You know, every season we're different people approaching a slightly different situation, which kind of brings us to autumn here, which would be celebrating abundance in the season of transition. Because it certainly is. You can see that, you know, all the beautiful greens have started to fade and they're turning into oranges and reds. Everything gets very fiery. You know, the color changes, the insects change, the bird song changes once again. The days start to shorten. The color of the sky seems a little bit different. You know, everything's moving into a different place. It's still a very busy time. You know, it seems more peaceful in a way, but there's a lot of work to be done. For us, fall is a very busy time. We're harvesting and processing seeds and all these sorts of things that we have to do. But we're that transition where plants are giving their life to create these seeds, you know, to start moving into the next season. The plants are already ready to do it. You can watch the transition happening in the wild world, you know, and these seeds, what a magic thing this is, you know, because the seed is this delicate balance in and of itself between life and death, right? We're observing these plants literally giving themselves up in order to provide for the next generation, which brings us to winter. What a transition. Looking inward in the season of rest and reflection, because now that winter's come and the world is sort of dormant again, we have that opportunity to kind of, well, rest and recuperate from all the work that we've done, but also to reflect on everything that's happened. It gives us the time to sit down and really be with our thoughts. But then at the same time, again, this beautiful balance, we're already starting to think about next year, right? We're already anticipating when spring arrives. We're already starting to dream and plan for the next gardens that are to come. You know, it's just it's the glimmer of hope that we're going to get through this winter and we're going to be ready for the next season. So it's like a seamless transition, again, from one to the next. And, you know, we see that they're all interconnected. Everything's connected. We're connected with the plants. We're connected with our neighbors. And I think ultimately we all know that inside of ourselves, as busy as we may be, or, you know, we may be stressed out about whatever thing is happening. But when we sit down, have a cup of tea and just like relax for a second, we know that everything's going to be okay. Everything's always been okay. And everything will be okay again. Some of these seasons in our lives may be difficult, but we'll come to the end of that and we'll start a new season again and we'll be right back to spring and the season of renewal.
I think that one of the things that appeals to me most about this book is the practicality of some of your suggestions. You really focus on making it an inclusive thing for everyone. There's plants that are easier to grow no matter where you are, no matter what your living situation is. And there's ones that you use every day. And there's benefits to all of those. You talk a little bit about herbal medicine making, about culinary practices, but also about the small and simple things, like you mentioned, just sitting with a plant that can have a really positive impact on you. Let's talk a little bit about some of the physical health benefits of herbs, both of ingesting them and then some of the herbal medicine making salves and tinctures and things like that that can help heal the body.
Well, there are so many nutritional and health building qualities, right? I mean, just simply incorporating herbs into our daily diet, adding more herbs and spices to your food, that makes it more delicious. It makes it more enjoyable, right? It increases your joy, most certainly. But many of these herbs have micronutrients and minerals and all these things that our bodies need. top of mind for me right now because it's spring would be parsley. My parsley is starting to come up already. It's a biennial herb that we grow for seed. So it's already starting to pop up out of the garden. And it is a powerhouse of nutrition. It is loaded with minerals and vitamins and all that good stuff. So just incorporating these plants into our regular daily menus is going to offer us a number of health benefits, most certainly. But all of these plants can also be harnessed for topical applications like you're talking about. It could be simple as a water infusion to extract the water-soluble chemicals from the plant. So I mean something like simple a tea. Or we could infuse them in oils and work with the fat-soluble compounds and turn them into salves and balms, which is good for itchy, red, rashy skin and cuts and scratches and all sorts of stuff. Early in our small house adventures, we used to do a lot of farmers markets where we would set up and sell herbal products. And some of our most popular products were just herbs that we would turn into beauty care products, like witch hazel that we would turn into a topical astringent that's good for acne and oily skin and that sort of thing. Herbs can offer us, I mean, almost everything that we need. I will say everything that we need. That's the beauty of Mother Nature. By design, nature provides us with all of our needs once we learn how to observe and identify them.
I think something that is super fascinating that you included is that after each herb, you focus on 48 edible and medicinal herbs that you can use in the kitchen, garden, apothecary throughout the book. And after each one, you include at least one recipe, things like rose buttercream frosting or red clover cookies or recipes for salves and tinctures that you mentioned earlier, or even your own aloe vera lotion recipe. Beauty care products like that. So like you said, there's this wide range. And I'm going to ask a big question here, but do you have a favorite recipe, Bevan?
This is quite the question. This is a loaded question. there are so many recipes in the book. You know, when Timber Press approached me about doing this book, originally their concept was simply just a medicinal herbal. And I said, well, you know, I've kind of already written books like that. I'd like to explore these plants a little bit deeper than that, you know? And for me, when we work with plants, it's not just in a medicinal capacity. It's also that culinary application or being in the garden or whatever it might be. So I said, let's really cover all of these things. And so we started to work on some of these recipes. I wanted to include both medicinal, culinary, beauty, all these things, these recipes. And it was such a fun thing. We put together so many recipes. And Reagan, I can't believe that they all ended up in the book. Looking at they were all so successful and everyone enjoyed them so much. This book is just crammed full of recipes. Picking a favorite one would be very difficult, but I think that I would say we did a super sunflower cornbread and it was fantastic. So all parts of the sunflower plant are edible. And I meet a lot of folks that are, of course, familiar with the seeds being edible, but maybe not other parts of the plant. And I said, well, let's make a recipe where we're going to use the whole sunflower plant and make cornbread out of it. So that's what we did. We even ground sunflower seeds to use as the flour in the cornbread. The top of it's decorated with petals. We pressed the seeds for their oil and used the sunflower oil in the recipe. It was just so much fun to be able to just make use of all these different parts of a plant to just kind of, again, just open people's eyes to this concept, to change people's perspectives. We may be familiar with one or two uses for a plant, but one plant can offer us so much. So I really wanted to highlight that. And I think that the cornbread, the sunflower cornbread recipe is a really good example of that.
You said you made all of them. You experienced all of them. They were all a hit. They were all a success. How long did that take you? There are so many and they're pretty immersive. Like you said, you were grinding sunflower seeds to use as the flour for that cornbread. How long did it take you to fully make and attempt all of these recipes?
This book was many years in the making, and a lot of that was the recipe development. And there was a lot of time that went into it. I really wanted to showcase culinary and medicinal medicine making techniques that I'm familiar with, but I also wanted to kind of push my own boundaries and experience new things for myself and highlight that in the book as well to really show that, I mean, the sky's the limit here. So there was a lot of time that went into developing these recipes. The most interesting and fun part for me, I think, was the photography of the recipes. We had a photographer come from Chicago and she was here for a week. We did a lot of shots of in the garden and of the plants and all these sorts of things. And then over the course of just a couple of days, we shot all of those recipe photos. So it was quite a challenge. We had a whole schedule. We had all hands on deck here. making these recipes and getting them ready. And basically, I mean, it was like bang, 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 get a recipe ready, setting it up. She was doing photos of it while she was taking photos. We were prepping the next recipe. It was very exciting, a little bit stressful. It was fun to experience, but it was even more pleasurable when it was over, because it was a big job, but it was so cool to kind of coordinate and do that.
I mean, I think that the results speak for themselves. Something that I wanted to comment on was how beautiful some of the photography was and how immersive it makes the book, but also how badly it makes me want to try some of these recipes.
Awesome. That's the goal, right?
Absolutely. And I say it was very successful in that sense.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we really ultimately wanted to inspire people. And this was something I write about in a few places in the book as well, is I wanted people to kind of take my lead, like listen to what I'm saying, get excited about this idea, and then go and make it your own. Go and do your own thing with it. You know, really personalize the experience. We're all having a shared experience, but we're all having individual experiences at the same time. And really, I want people to just be comfortable enough to lean into that experience, whether they want to try making these breads or making the medicines or just going on a plant walk or working in the garden, whatever calls to them in this book, I want them to feel comfortable and confident just really leaning into that and making it their own.
Besides being an author, an herbalist, a sustainability expert, I'd argue yourself, you also really focus on education. What's one thing that after every class or session you do, you really hope your students take away?
That it's okay to make mistakes, that we should just get out there and try new things. That's really the heart of everything that we do. That's how we learn, is by making mistakes. Try new things, you're likely going to fail, and that is okay. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of trying, is that ability to make that mistake and then correct it. That is how we learn. I just love to see after a workshop when people will come up, we'll do a little Q&A or meet and greet or whatever it might be, and people are always like, I never thought of it that way before. Oh, you said that in a way that I've never experienced. You know, that to me is, that's one of the greatest things to hear from somebody. The best possible feedback is that you made me think of this and look at that from a point of view I've never considered before. And that's a success, because ultimately, what do you have? So many seasons on this planet. That's all that you've got. So we really want to make the most of it. And for me, in my experience, I won't speak for anybody else, but in my experience, I can make the most out of anything if I look at it from as many points of view as possible. That's what it's all about.
So our show has been focused a lot lately on climate change. Our executive producer and regular host is a client scientist himself, actually. And I'm curious if this has affected your herbs, particularly seasonally. And how are you doing with all of this?
Man, what a question. You know, and you're right. It's probably one of the most important questions that we could ask ourselves anymore. We have seen some definite changes where we're at because of the change in climate. Our seasons have gotten longer. My growing season has gotten longer. My winter has gotten shorter. It's frightening to think about if this trend continues, what that could mean for me. Because the snowpack, the snowfall, that is a very important part of our cyclical nature here, right? So there's definitely a concern with that. But we've also seen extensive flooding, unlike we've ever experienced. We have had what the folks around here have called our 100-year flood probably 3 times in the last 7 years. What do we do to combat that? I don't know the answer to that, but I just keep thinking that if we can get people more excited about the natural world and these wild places, and they can understand the value of them, if they can see it, even if just selfishly, if they say, oh, this wild place is valuable to me because I like hiking these trails or whatever it is, then maybe they'll have more of an interest in trying to preserve that and do something to save all of these wonderful things in the world that are obviously threatened because of what's happening in the climate. When people are learning from me about plants, and especially when we're talking about harvesting wild plants, one message I'm always trying to drill home with folks is plants are not a commodity. It's not something that we just take and have and use for ourselves. We have a synergistic relationship with Mother Nature. It's a give and take. It goes both ways. Ultimately, if we were to put everybody on a stack of importance, who's the most important? It's not us. It's the natural world. Without us, the natural world would be fine. But without plants, where would we even be, right? We just have to change our perspective one person at a time. And hopefully very quickly, we can get people to see things from a different point of view and act in a way that Mother Nature needs us to act in.
That's Bevan Cohen. Bevan is an author, herbalist, gardener, seed saver, and educator. He's the owner of Small House Farm and the founder of Michigan Seed Library Network, and he is also the author of Herbs in Every Season. Bevan, thank you so much.
Reagan, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Undisciplined is a production of Utah Public Radio, and if you happen to live in Utah, you can listen to us on UPR every Thursday morning at 10:30. If you miss us then, you can listen to every episode of Undisciplined wherever you get your podcasts. Our program is supported by the College of Humanities and Social Sciences at Utah State University and from listeners like you. You can support our work at donate.nprstations.org/UPR. Our executive producer is Matthew LaPlante. Our theme music is Little Idea by Benjamin Tissot. And I'm Reagan Edelman. Thanks for listening. Now go have big ideas.